It's Xander Forrest.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, dude.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I just ate so much Panda Express. It's painful.
But in the best way.
You're
getting that dad bod, huh?
Oh, full force.
So, what's it like? You got a girlfriend or a fiance, or what's going on there?
I got both.
Okay, and you're expecting a child now, right? How long until she's due?
It's a boy, praise God. But in 8 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah, so it'll probably have the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's being born right as the pandemic is winding down, you know? That's fucking crazy. What is it like in Hawaii? You guys are pretty socially distant as it is, right? You're on an island.
Yeah, it's fine. There's still some spots that are open, but pretty much everything's closed. They just opened beaches again, but that's boring. I haven't worked in like 6 weeks.
Yeah, because you were working as a bartender, right?
Yeah, so those will be the last thing to open. So they just extended our quarantine to like May 31st. So it may be like another 5 weeks before I can work again.
Whoa.
I'm just getting fat, dude. I had Taco Bell for breakfast, and then I just ate Panda Express.
Bro, I'm getting fat too rapidly. You know, I swing in weight all the time. I go through health phases and then I blow it out. And
yeah, me too.
Freaking, I was going to the gym religiously, like every morning. It took me like 2 months to get in the habit where it's like, you don't have a choice, you fat piece of shit. Go to the fucking gym. And I finally got in that swing, and then they closed.
Yeah.
March 17th, they closed and charged me my monthly the same day.
Wow, that's like a spiteless girlfriend, man. That's fucked up.
It's a slap in the face, right?
Yeah, we live right by a 24-hour fitness, and I was also, the day I was going to get a membership to it, like the day after St. Patrick's Day, they closed, but they leave the lights on 24/7, even though you can't use it. So anytime I send the shopping mall, like all the fast food and the grocery store and shit is. So every time I like leave the house at night in a hoodie, you know, to go get ice cream and fucking White Claws, I see the 24-hour fitness is just lit up, but, you know, just mocking me and like, you fuck piece of shit.
It's a golden palace of healthy lifestyle. That you can see, you can see through the fog and the quarantine.
Yeah, what's Jersey like with the virus stuff?
I mean, the creepiest shit, you know, is just like the swing sets. I can't get over that all the swing sets have police tape on them. I'm sure that's a worldwide phenomena. But also,
oh wait, I never heard about that. What are they doing?
Yeah, so like, you know, just like normal parks. Like a park, like a city park, municipal park. They have police tape around the swings. Like the kids are not.
Oh, that's so creepy. Why police tape though? That's so fucked up. It's like a boy Billy was raped on this swing pit.
I know.
Like what? Why do you gotta use police tape? Why not just put nails? Just glue nails to the tape. It's way less creepier than. Fucking crime scene tape.
They don't have that in Hawaii? There's no police tape around the swings?
No. I mean, we don't even really have that many swings because of, like, the beach and stuff. Like,
right, right. That's your park, is the beach. People surf and stuff.
So I don't even know if I've ever even seen a swing set here. They have them at schools, but the schools are closed. So.
Right, right. And the other thing, so after they freaking closed my gym, I started going to Thomas Edison Park. They closed that. So then I went to Doylestown Park. They closed that. And it's like these parks just have these walking paths that I was walking on to like do something towards fitness. And I'm pretty socially distant and it's well ventilated at the park. I don't know why I'm not allowed to walk there anymore.
Yeah, they just, it's so weird. They just had to open parks. Well, the beaches are the parks, but I mean, we have like grassy parks and stuff too, but they had to just open those because so many people were like complaining they can't exercise that they open parks, but there's like police monitors. So it's like a weird, like fucking police state dictatorship where like the cops, like you can jog or like work out or whatever, but they'll yell at you if you're too close to someone else. Like if you're working out too close to another dude, they'll just fucking yell at you.
Right. So, and it's the same thing. So I found a park. I'm not even going to say this park on air, but I found a park that has disc golf.
You don't want them to close it?
Yeah. There's a whole frisbee golf park, or like a course, and it's open. They haven't blocked the entrance, so it's still open. And I went there and played disc golf, and it was great. But yeah, there were cops everywhere watching you, and you know,
disc golf's a good social distance sport because, you know, anyone that sees you playing, that's not going to want to be seen near something so embarrassing. So that's,
you know, how dare you?
Burned it. No, but I mean, you played pretty far from each other, right?
When yeah, I mean, you have a frisbee, and then the thing is like, you know, 125 yards away, the goal. You know, so you have to take three or four throws to get it there. So it's like, come on. People are allowed to go to grocery stores. Why aren't I allowed to do this? You know?
The fact that Walmart are still, or like too, the city bus is open still. And so, and there's a bar I go to, which I won't name also so they don't get in trouble. But, you know, so I'll go there like once a week or something to just see some of my friends because I live home. Like the entire other side of Honolulu, so I live on like the opposite side of the island. But I'm standing outside in a bunch of bus. It's on a bus path or whatever, bus route. And dude, there's like fucking jam packed people. You know, all the seats are taken. There's people standing. Every third person's wearing a mask. They're all just poor pieces of shit. You know, not healthy. Definitely coughing on each other, and that's allowed, but like you can't go run on a treadmill. It's crazy. And you can go to Walmart too, they're also packed because people keep like panic buying.
Yeah,
so yeah, all their like weird arbitrary rules for this is just driving me insane.
Yeah, it is like the police aspect is a different aspect, right? Like, okay, there's a virus, but then there's a police state. It's almost like that's what they were trying to do the whole time. And so you're saying they installed all these monitors at the beach, like they're watching everybody at the beach all the time?
No, I mean like police, you know, like lifeguards, but just cops. Like,
okay.
Just like police officers monitoring things. And I don't know. I think too, it's, I mean, if you want to get, like, tinfoil hat on the whole thing, but there is a part of it that feels like at a certain point of this coronavirus nonsense that a lot of states, I do feel like part of it could be a social experiment of, like, how much can we take away and restrict people before they riot, or how much can we do and they don't, like, how can we slowly take away things to where it's so drawn out that it doesn't reach a boiling point? You know, it feels like there are these weird elements to it of, like, oh, yeah, this cop just can pull me over and tell me to go home for no reason because I'm driving without a face mask or whatever.
Yeah, and, like, I was looking at Italy. Apparently, some guy was just, like, on a Vespa. You know, Italians, they have their little Vespas and their cappuccinos, you know, Italians, you know?
Yeah.
And so this guy was out past curfew, and the cop comes by and just starts hitting him with a bat. You know? on a motorcycle. And it's like, you know, coronavirus is one thing. That's probably not good for your health. Neither is getting hit with a bat. And the guy's alone. He's, you know, but they have a curfew.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. This shit's creepy. I don't like the government beating people.
There was a cop in, I don't know which state it was, but there's one of, maybe it was Chicago, one of the states, or New York maybe, I don't know, one of the states where, like, they have the curfews because it's so bad. This cop went into, he got a neighbor's call. So this was some 1984 shit where people are calling for, like, you know, ratting people out and shit. So this guy, his neighbors kept calling, saying he was having guests over and was, like, leaving his house too often and all this stuff. So the cops show up to make sure that, you know, his household's obeying the curfew. But then they enter his house and do a search without a warrant, without any real probable cause even, really. And, yeah, just, like, totally broke the Constitution just under the guise of this. You know, that because of the quarantine stay-at-home orders, that supersedes, you know, having to get warrants and, like, constitutional rights. So,
yeah,
it's like trying to sue the police now. But that's crazy to me that they're just like, well, we're searching your home now because your neighbor said that you've been standing too close to your wife after midnight or whatever.
Well, did they bust up a barbecue or something? Like, were they doing, find anything?
No, they went to his house at, like, 11 p.m., and it was just, like, him and his wife, and then they checked all the rooms to make sure, like, whatever, but, I mean, they're already in their house, so the whole point of them violating a curfew, it's a moot point, you know? It's like, I'm home, like,
what fucking shitty neighbors, too. It's like, honestly, it's like, they look like they're having fun. My life is fucking miserable.
Right? Well, that's what's crazy about this, too, is, like, my baby mama, she's in college, and so a lot of the courses now are online, and because they shut down the campuses, she got an email from a counselor, like, it's a mass for, like, all the students. Like a mass email,
right?
That basically said that because of the stay-at-home orders, that domestic violence cases are, you know, pretty much guaranteed to quadruple. So if you have any issues at home, like, there's a hotline number. And that would fucking creep me out too. I'm like, I don't feel like all these weird, wacky things that are happening now because some fucking Chinese dude couldn't stop eating bats. It's bananas.
Yeah.
This didn't happen for, like, swine flu, SARS. You know? They're all kind of the same strain of virus, right? Everyone's supposed to go to work.
Yeah. I don't know, and it's like people are wondering if it's a bioweapon, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I think it might be. Well, because one of the things I read was, like, there's this, and this is true, but I don't know if there is, like, so the fact there is a lab that exists in China near Wuhan where the wet market is.
Right.
Now, if they were cultivating some kind of bioweapon, that part, you know, that's where you get tinfoil-y or whatever, but some of the stuff I've been reading is that, and there's even, like, reports of, you know, they had a suspected, like, breach in their security. So there's some kind of, like, chemical leak. And, you know, they very well could have been trying to engineer a bioweapon that somehow got out. And, you know, if that, let's say a bat got into the virus, right? And then it bit a pangolin. And then that pangolin or whatever, some other animal was sold at a wet market in Wuhan, and then someone ate that person ate an animal infected by, you know, whatever. That could, you know, be possible.
Yeah.
I think it might be a weapon.
You know, I don't know. It's like swine flu, mad cow disease, Wuhan bats. They always go, it's a disease and that's the animal. Oh, that was from mad cows. Oh, that was from bats. Oh, that was from kangaroos. Oh, some guy got AIDS from fucking a monkey or eating a monkey.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that could just be code for bioweapon. You know, in the CIA, instead of using your real name, they go with colors. So Mr. Green, Dr. White, Dr. Blue, they use colors in the CIA. And, you know, so to conceal the real name. And I just think animals is the way that they use a talking point to conceal the truth behind these things. The other thing I want to say is, speaking of domestic violence, so I ran into these guys. I'm still driving Uber and Lyft, you know. And I ran into this guy who has a judo school. And I was like, oh, man, your gym must be closed down now because, you know, people can't use gyms anymore. And he goes, actually, I'm friends with the cops. And so the cops said, listen, I can't be home with my fucking stupid wife for, 7 days a week. I gotta come to judo school so I don't domestic violence my wife. So the cops literally protected this one judo school and keep it open.
That's funny.
So that they don't beat their wives.
I think that gyms of any degree should be, if a fucking Walmart is considered essential and it holds way more employees and way more people touching stuff, food, you know, cross-contamination, I think that boxing gyms, not maybe 24-hour fitnesses because they're too big, but things like that should be open because, I mean, that's what's happening here is, like, people are, you know, beating up who they live with more because they can't go surf, they can't go, you know, to the judo place and throw some little Asian guy around.
Yeah.
If me buying a Twinkie at a fucking Walmart at 2 a.m. is essential, like, you know, open up, like, some gym.
And, you know, if your immune system is compromised, you get the shit easier. You can get a virus when your immune system's compromised, but when you're fit and healthy, you know, that shit bounces right off you. You don't even contract it. And
yeah, so, it's like, 70-year-old dudes going to fucking learn how to do a judo toss, you know?
And if they were, God bless them, and they'll get in a little bit better of shape, you know?
Yeah.
So, there's also this guy called Charles Lieber. He was the professor emeritus at Harvard for the chemistry and the biochem chair of Harvard, Charles Lieber. And his grad students were caught going to Wuhan with coronavirus vials. So I think they had a cultural exchange program with that bio lab in Wuhan with Harvard via Charles Lieber. And he got arrested by the FBI, but he posted bail. So now he's free until his court date. It's like, maybe that's the fucking dude, man. You know?
I wouldn't be surprised. At this point, like, nothing surprised. Oh, and then I was just reading today on New York announced that they're canceling the primaries in June. So who knows if because of this you're even going to be able to, like, how do you think this is going to affect the election, right?
Isn't that interesting? They could push it a year and just say a state of emergency. We're pushing it a year.
So would that mean, though, if, because I'm stupid, I don't know a lot of things, but so if they've had to postpone it like the Olympics, right, so it'd be next year, would that mean that if Trump was reelected, he'd only serve 3 more years after next year, or would it be another 4 after doing 5?
That's a good question.
Isn't that, which president was it that did 3 terms because of, was it Vietnam or World War II? I forget which president it was, but I know there was one that was able to serve his 3rd term without an election because we were at war.
Well, I remember Roosevelt, he did 2 in a row and then skip a few and then they had him back. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
I'm,
a weird one.
I'm not sure which Roosevelt, but one of the Roosevelts was like, one, two, skip a few, this one. Like, you know? But he was like in a wheelchair and all fucked up for that term. I think he even died during that term because he was too old, but people just loved him. But, yeah, what do you think about Joe Biden and all the sexual assault allegations? I mean, I was kind of looking forward to the debates with Trump. He was going to get killed.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some kind of dementia, too.
Yeah.
And right. Even if you, like, watching him speak nowadays, he's I feel like he's more mentally unhinged than Trump, maybe. Not in regards to, like, Trump's a madman in his own right, but as far as Biden's just as unstable, you know? And if you're going to compare the two, I really don't think he even has a shot against Trump at all in any facet, because I don't know, with his sexual assault allegations or whatever, I think he's not going to be able to get away with it as much because he tries to have this wholesome image of himself, whereas Trump has just always been like, fuck you, I don't care, I'm Donald Trump. So it was easier for him to navigate away from the grab him by the pussy stuff because he's always been like that, you know.
And also, like, Donald Trump has been divorced 4 times. He, you know.
Yeah, that's who he is.
So it's kind of like, oh, well, he's, like, kind of a piece of shit, you know. So they voted for him anyway the first time, you know. So it's like, all right. But when you're going for that vote of the, when you want the Me Too movement and the libtards to come out and vote for you, when this lady called Tara Reid, he shoved his fingers in her pussy. Did you hear that? This lady called, not the actress Tara Reid, but some other Tara Reid was working for him. And he, like, pushed her up against a fence and shoved his fingers in her pussy. She brought him, like, a gym bag. She's like, here you go. And he's like, I hear you liked me. Like, outside at 2 p.m. You know?
Middle of the day.
Which is a little, that's inappropriate, you know? And so, but then there's all those footage that, of him, you know, grabbing all the senators' daughters when they're taking pictures at during the Obama administration.
And well, he also who was the black senator in the 80s? It was like a big controversy. He was accused of sexual assault. Clarence Thomas.
Oh, was she a judiciary, Clarence Thomas?
Yeah. So Clarence Thomas got in a bunch of heat for raping some intern or something, and Biden spoke on his behalf. So they're now and it got him off, and like it got everything dropped back then. So
right.
They're saying, you know, so now all this other stuff's coming out about Joe Biden, and they're looking into he has a bunch of crazy allegations against him, more than just that one lady, but he's had more of a history of like helping people grab unconsensual vaginas than he's done really anything else.
That's his main policy.
That's it. He's like, we gotta be able to just sing to these bags, you know, whenever we want.
Wow. But he's
I don't think he stands a chance. As much as I don't like Trump, he's not going to, no one's going to vote for him. And we can't. I don't even think we're going to be able to have an election this year.
So, also, you know, they would rather Biden lose to Trump. Like, they would let, the DNC would rather Trump than Bernie, which is so fucking sad, you know?
Yeah, it's really upsetting.
Because, you know, if you're just a liberal and then you go to Europe or Canada one time, you start to look around like, oh, look, Toronto, this place is kind of nice. And if I break my arm, I could go to the hospital and not be charged $200,000. Like, that sounds good. Not that I want to break my arm, but in a freak accident, you know, and you're like, oh, this is not so bad. And then America It's like your political choice in that regard. So in 2016, they screwed Bernie out of the election in favor of Hillary. And then they did the same thing in 2020. It even went to court. And the court saw Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who was the head of DNC in 2016. Debbie Wasserman Schultz took the stand and said, well, the DNC is a private corporation, so we can elect whoever we want to be our chair. And that's what they ruled.
Yeah.
But there's a part of the Constitution that's against voter fraud. Voter fraud in the Constitution makes somebody an enemy of the state, and treason is punishable by death. So
when they're all in cahoots, though, where like the entire government is basically working with each other to circumvent those rules, I mean, you're not going to be able to hold anybody accountable. That's why Trump's getting away with everything he is, because everyone at that level of politics, they all have some sort of culpability in doing these unconstitutional things, you know. So that's why you can't. Bernie Madoff was—he wasn't even a politician, but he's probably the last person with that much wealth and power that's probably ever going to be held accountable for anything. Like, you know, we don't have any kind of. They're going to keep being able to do these kind of things because it's just how it's been for so long that it's kind of unavoidable at this point, you know?
Yeah, and
like
they,
Trump,
yeah.
Trump straight up using his, the head of his campaign manager, it came out that he's paying, two of their, like, Donald Trump Jr.'s wife and one of the other brothers' wives, they're getting $100,000 a month for essentially nothing, because they send out mass emails on behalf of his political campaign. But that's also, like, a political financing violation. But then they got sued by some activists or whatever when they found out that's how they're using their money. But because the chairman of his campaign fund or whatever was paying them through his own hedge fund or whatever, it was separate from the campaign, but paying them for their campaign work, it didn't count as actually breaking any laws, even though it technically was. So they're just using all, like, taxpayer money, everything, to just keep each other rich and just doing it in front of everyone's faces. Very illegal, and no one's ever going to be held accountable for it.
So they just take it out of the campaign, they give it to Joe Schmo gives it out, and then it's legal.
Right. And that's, you know, that's like donation, and that's like campaign, like, financing laws. I forget what they're called. I'm a stupid person. I can't remember everything. But yeah, they find these little loopholes or whatever, and yeah, it's wild. And then also fucking Jared Kushner, right? So he's like one of Trump's top appointed, Ivanka's husband.
Okay.
He just qualified for like $100 million of the bailout money for his small business. He owns a bunch of rental properties, but his rental properties gross like $500 million a year or something crazy, which I don't consider a small business. But yeah, he just qualified for like millions of dollars from this bailout package.
Yeah, because four of his renters couldn't make rent, and he's like, "Boo hoo!" You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't get clams on my salad.
Is that a thing, clam salad?
I don't know. Look, speaking of, it's something you get when you push a lady against the wall at noon. But speaking of, like, Bernie Madoff, the last guy who got justice, you know, we almost saw a lot of people go down with Jeffrey Epstein, and then everyone knows that he didn't kill himself, but he's been murdered or moved somewhere. And then I just read an article that Ghislaine Maxwell, who is his madam, his helper, is suing his $600 million estate because he promised her a life of luxury. And she said in her criminal complaint by her lawyer that she has to hire extra security because people want to kill her. Like, that is not exactly a sympathetic litigant, Ghislaine Maxwell. She's like, it's like Bill Clinton suing his maid for, like, missing a cum stain on the Lolita Express. It's like, she's not a sympathetic litigant, if you catch my drift. She,
oh, for sure.
I just hope that she actually goes to court thinking that she's going to get a $30 million cut of the estate and somebody fucking arrests her and then makes her stand trial.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, I don't think... I think he's dead, probably. But I don't think that he killed himself. Like, all of that stuff's so murky. Like, the video camera footage from his cell was deleted because they accidentally thought it was from a different floor, but they weren't supposed to delete that any footage anyway. So, I don't know. I think the Clintons did it, man. I think he had too much evidence on Bill Clinton liking to fuck some young people.
And Prince Andrew.
And Prince Andrew. But the Clintons is like, you know, and I'm pretty liberal, but they've been accused of killing journalists before.
Oh yeah, they're lawyers.
Yeah, dude, they just have like a hit. When you have that many people that die serious circumstances continuously, it's insane that it never gets looked into further. And then if you bring it up at all, you're a conspiracy theorist. And it's like, well, no, these are facts. Like, these people that work for them died conveniently after certain times of turmoil that could have been potential, you know, turmoil for their careers. These people who could have, you know, had kind of ruffled some feathers for the Clintons conveniently died. Every 4 or 5 months, someone that works for them fucking is like hung or decided or whatever. It's crazy.
Like Seth Rich, you know, he dropped Hillary's emails to WikiLeaks. He was a campaign staffer for Seth Rich. And then he was killed in what's quote unquote the CIA talking point is a botched robbery. Botched robbery. It was so botched that they left his watch. It was so botched they left his wallet and cash in the wallet. That's how botched it is. Like, the problem with the Clintons is they're so out of touch, they can't even, like, cover up a murder. Like, you're saying that a thug didn't take the cash, though? Because, you know, he didn't take the cash to feed his family. So it was a botched robbery. Like, they're so rich and privileged that, like, not having cash in your pocket is like, but they don't even, it doesn't even compute as part of the story of the cover up.
Yeah. And there's like 10 other people like that dude.
There's like 30 other people.
Yeah, it's bananas. And you say anything about it and it's like, oh, you're fucking it. And you have any kind of opinion on Hillary Clinton and, like, you know, the different kind of illegal things she's done, you're sexist. And it's like, well, wait, no. I would like for the people that represent the party I vote for to fucking either be better or be held accountable instead of just getting away with this shit and continuously being able to oust people like Bernie Sanders from actually, you know, getting a higher position and changing things instead of this just continued. It's just House of Cards, man. I feel like House of Cards was based off of the Clinton family.
Yeah, right? And then Kevin Spacey kind of had that almost Clinton Southern accent, too.
Yeah, you know? And then the wife is very Hillary-esque.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Kevin Spacey was on the Lolita Express. He knows what the fuck went down, you know?
You know the weirdest person that they found was Chris Tucker. Chris Tucker would go on it.
Yeah, from the Rush Hour movies, right? That guy? With Jackie Chan?
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, he would go on it with Clinton too, and Kevin Spacey. They would all ride together.
Yeah.
My thing is like, how do you when they try to, you know, they're like trying to distance themselves now from the whole Epstein thing, but how do you ride on a plane that often that's called the Lolita Express and you're like, I had no idea he was a nefarious man?
Well, like, look at the political system. You know, we have a system the DNC put Biden through, and even fudged everything to put Biden through, and it's like he's on camera whispering in Maggie Coon's ear, like, you know how horny I am to have a 13-year-old girl in front of me. And it's like I'm living in the fucking Twilight Zone.
Yeah, dude. It's
like you can Google this. I don't think that the establishment understands the internet of things. Like, you can look this up, and then it's over for him forever. Like, you can find that on YouTube. It's over. But they have such momentum behind the status quo that they, like, pretend things aren't real.
Well, and there's also that, there's, like, the human brain can only, I forget the term, but the human brain can only, it can only deal with so much, like, direct, like, bad situation, right? So, fuck, I wish I could remember the word, but there's so many problems in the world, right? Your
right.
brain can only process, like, that's why people usually only get involved with, like, charities or, you know, things going on in their community directly, because that's what, you know, your brain can process. Like, this is happening in front of me, I can change this, right? So you don't really care about what's going on in India or other countries, because that's not directly in your face. But there's, you know that there are problems all over the world, but there's too many that you can't focus on all of them or even remember everything terrible that happened. So what they're relying on now, especially for Trump specifically, is like he does so much crazy shit every day that it's you forget what happened yesterday when he opens his mouth today, you know? So the news cycle now are so continuously pumped with like new crazy shit that no one can focus on, like the Epstein thing. It feels like that was 5 years ago, and it wasn't. It was last year, but so much other crazy shit's happened already. No one has time to like sit and focus on that. So with Biden and all his allegations, compared with everything else that's going on, like no one really cares about anything because there's too much other fucked up shit happening alongside it, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like the establishment got very worried because they go Pizzagate, oh, that's not real, that's been disproven. Pizzagate's been disproven. But then Lolita Express was a cosign of Pizzagate. It spoke to the same exact establishment, and it was not disproven. It was holding court, and then they kill him, and it's like, it's over, it's over, it's over. And then now the only way to stop that was coronavirus in the news
cycle.
Yeah,
I mean, it did come up at a pretty convenient time. There's also, you remember, like, last October and November, there was riots almost in every single country for, like, corrupt governments. And, you know, and then
right.
virus pops up, and now everyone has to stay at home. There's no riots, you know? There's no rising up against the man.
Yeah. You know who was someone who always came up in the Pizzagate investigation? Was Maria Abramovich. She did the spirit cooking, you see that stuff? And so apparently she was tied to the Comet Ping Pong, James Alefantis pedophile network. And then you have Jeffrey Epstein of the Lolita Express fame. And do you know who's tied to both of those people? Is Bill Gates. Bill Gates flew on the Lolita Express. And Bill Gates just did a Microsoft commercial with Maria Abramovich. That is not a coincidence. You do not know the king and queen of the two biggest elite pedo network scandals without... At this level... Yeah. It's important. That can't happen.
Yeah, well, that's always been the thing that
just kind of eats at me, especially with the Epstein thing, when, you know, you have all these very wealthy, influential people being caught, you know, seeing photographed with him or flying on his plane and going to his island. And they all say the same thing, like, oh, well, I never witnessed anything like that happening, or I never, there was never even rumors, or it's like, yeah, there's no fucking way. There's no way that you never had any idea that he was just raw dogging 12-year-olds.
Well,
decade.
Yeah, and like one of the guy's butlers, one of Epstein's butlers came through and they asked about Prince Andrew saying that. Oh, well, I saw him. I was at his house. I never saw anything like that. The butler said, that's impossible. How is that possible? There's 50 underage girls in the house.
Yeah.
How is this? What do you mean? They weren't his daughters. Why are all these women here? Oh, it's so fucked up. Wow. It makes me so sad. And it's like every person who was on that flight log, Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, Chris Tucker, Kevin Spacey, Tom Hanks, you know? What the fuck? For them not to be rounded up, it's like, no, get them out. Well, they're done, you know? Well,
but that's what I was saying earlier about, you know, like the DNC is just blatantly like, no, we're going to pick who the presidents are.
Right.
There's no one's held accountable because they're all complicit. You know, if every person is involved, then, you know, especially when they're the people that are trying to be enforcing laws and holding people accountable, if they're also, you know, fucking the same 12-year-old or, you know, stealing, you know, embezzling money or whatever the crime may be, if they're involved in it too, then, you know, no one's ever going to get held accountable. I think, so my favorite conspiracy theory, and this was before the whole Epstein thing, but when Chris Cornell died, remember him? He was like the singer of Audioslave and Soundgarden.
Right, yeah, uh-huh.
So he hung himself, supposedly, and so when he died, there was rumors that started circulating. So him and his wife ran a nonprofit that tried to get kids out of sex trafficking in Africa. But also, that's where the Lolita Express loved to go. Bill Gates also loved going to Africa a lot. And so the theory is that he was killed because he found out of a pedophile cabal network of like super wealthy famous people, and he was documenting all the proof and got too close to revealing everything, so they killed him. But then his best friend, the singer of Linkin Park, died in the same manner of death, like 5 months later, and it's suspected that Chris Cornell gave him this book of names of people behind this, like, worldwide child sex ring, and so they killed him, too. And his wife, both their wives have even come out as saying they think it's suspicious, and, you know, they had families and kids and plans for tours.
Yeah, is the guy Chester Bennington from Linkin Park?
Yeah.
And if you look at him, he looks just like John Podesta. Look at Chester Bennington and John Podesta. John Podesta was Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, Maria Abramovich's best friend, who's, you know, tied to the Pizzagate conspiracy theory. And,
yeah.
It's so fucked up. Part of, like, if you really get in the weeds with conspiracies, they say part of the elite's thing is they're into, like, these Nazi breeding programs where, you know, the politicians will breed and they'll make, like, a pop star, like a Disney pop star, like, from an incubator or something like that. And,
oh, yeah, I've heard about it.
And, like, isn't it crazy if John Podesta's kid, like, or somehow incubates a child, and it's Chester Bennington. And then he's the lead singer of Linkin Park, and, like, the only reason why he's allowed to get into mainstream success and, like, sell out the arena tour he got and, like, to get the opportunities is because he came from this Illuminati breeding program.
Wouldn't be surprised.
No, I've seen some.
I believe in all that stuff because, I mean, if you look at just alone, right, NASA, we couldn't have gone to the moon if it wasn't for Nazi scientists that were absorbed by NASA at the end of World War II. Like, that's a fact, you know, you can.
Project Paperclip.
Yeah, we wouldn't have iPhones if it wasn't for NASA absorbing Nazi scientists, right?
Right.
So if you just look at that, like if you look at that very base fact that Nazi scientists fled Germany at the end of the war and then went to work for NASA, right? So now they're in the United States and they're bringing all their crazy, weird experiments and, you know, vision to fucking NASA and politics and how things are run here. They're probably totally, that's probably all Disney is just the offspring of like global test tube babies.
And you know, that's also the thing about the Nazis. It's all about propaganda. That's how they were able to, with people like Lee Riefenstahl, who was a filmmaker, who was a prolific propagandist for the Nazis. That's how they were able to brainwash their country to do the war.
Yeah.
So then drinking Pepsi Cola and watching Miley Cyrus tweak her pussy on the MTV Music Awards is a perfect Nazi distracting technique so that they could release COVID to the fucking useless sheep.
So they can keep fucking kids. Right? Full circle.
You know? Ugh. But they're getting sloppier. I feel like a lot of the country's waking up and seeing this stuff, and they're just getting more sloppy with it. I mean, listen to Joe Biden fucking talk. It's like, what?
Well, I think what happens is, so, like, when something's so normal for a person, right, it's not something. So, like, for people in China, right, they live in cage homes. So they have really tiny, tiny living quarters. So that's normal. You live, like, stacked on top of people, right?
Right.
So if that's normal for you, then if you came to, if you went to Texas and saw some, you know, big five-story home, that'd trip you out, right?
Right,
so
right.
It's like, what? Well, if you're only around other successful people, or if you're only around other racists or whatever, right? It's normal for you to just say whatever you want and do whatever you want openly, because that's all you're doing already anyway. So when you see these like news anchors and politicians and stuff accidentally drop N-bombs or, you know, say something racist on Twitter, I think what's happening is they've always been this sloppy from, you know, hiding how shitty they are. But because of the internet and how instant how quickly things spread once you post something or do something, they don't have a buffer anymore to hide behind, you know? Like, with the internet, information gets shared so quickly. If you go on Twitter drunk because, you know, you and your Illuminati gang were just talking about how shitty black people are or whatever, you tweet it real quick, you can't, you know, that just gets sent out.
Yeah.
So I think there's just more, it's easier to document people in power doing the same shitty things they've always done. It's just harder for them to hide it, I feel like.
Yeah, it's like they used to only be public in like 3-minute increments.
Yeah,
and now,
the president is running our country over fucking Twitter, and no one has a problem with it. That blows my mind every day. Where I'm reading the news on fucking Twitter, Like, wait, what? He did the State of the Union on through four tweets. Are you fucking, what?
Right.
That's allowed? Twitter.
He sends, like, four tweets and a dick pic, and he's like, bro, I'm governing shit, bro.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he prefers using Twitter as a means of spreading information versus, but then, like, CNN and NBC, and even Fox now, he's like, all that's fake. If it's not on Twitter, it's not real news.
I get it. I mean, what if our Nazi propagandist thing is true? You know, maybe he is actually trying to, like, get things out. Because whatever he says, they're going to, like, Photoshop 40 dicks in his mouth and say, oh. Like, even when he does policies that are, like, banal, they try to be like, gotcha, you did this instead of that. Like, policies that are, like, fine. That any president who had the same advisor who with the same PhD would say the same thing. So, like, they try to get him on, like, even, like, banal policy changes.
Well, he is a piece of shit, though.
I mean...
But do you think all that, like, QAnon stuff is how he's, like... He's trying to expose this secret world of pedophile sex trafficking? Do you think all that stuff's real?
QAnon, now there's... I did a deep dive on this the other day. There's a lot of what's known as Q proofs, meaning, like, QAnon will do a drop the same day that Trump will put a tweet out, and they'll use five of the same words the same nanosecond. Those are called Q proofs. And he's saying he's trying to round up the pedophiles. He's trying to arrest everybody. And that there's, you know, 170,000 sealed indictments and this and that, and they're just waiting for the time to be right. I don't know. That, I mean, it seems like if everybody's in house arrest on coronavirus, it would be a good time to knock on some doors. But I'll believe it when I see it.
Coronavirus was engineered by Donald Trump so that he could have high-ranking pedophiles at home, so it's easier for him to arrest them.
That's what QAnon is saying. I don't know.
Yeah, dude. I don't know if I'm gonna put my hat in that ring, but. It could be. Who knows? Wouldn't that be fucking insane, though, that if out of all this fucking chaos Donald Trump has caused politically and socially and culturally, that it winds up being that he is like this, he just fucking gives the death penalty to a bunch of pedophiles?
I mean, overnight, imagine how the public would change if the mainstream news actually covered it properly, and it happened, and then they covered it, you know?
That would be insane.
Because then it's like the Biden would even look like more of a piece of shit. And, like, you know, then they would suspend the election and nobody would care if he actually did that.
It'd be wild. I just wanted to free Joe Exotic, man. That's all I want.
Is Joe Exotic in jail?
Yeah. Did you watch any of the Tiger King?
No, I didn't. I don't have Netflix right now.
Oh, dude. It's
hilarious.
I'll text you my Netflix vlog.
Hey, don't say that over the air. All right, I got to cut that part out now. But okay.
Do you really?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's illegal.
Probably. No, it's not.
To share passwords?
Okay, well, I won't, but I'm totally gonna.
Okay. Wink.
All right, I won't send you my Netflix vlog, but I'll send you my Hulu.
Okay.
and by Hulu, I mean Netflix.
He should get a full pardon. That show is a cultural phenomena.
Oh, it is. I love everything about it. They're making another series, so he's in jail, but Investigative Discovery is they just signed a contract with him from prison, so they're gonna make a whole new series too.
Can Netflix sue Discovery for Swagger Jack in their fucking storyline?
No. It's the same as, you know, there's how many documentaries about Ted Bundy are there? Or, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer. You can't, it's, he owns his life rights. So they're going to make it more about him and that bitch Carol Baskin, man.
Right.
That husband killing bitch Carol Baskin.
Unbelievable. You think she killed her husband? Fed him to a tiger?
Oh, dude, she covered him in sardine oil, man, and fed it right to the cat. This is the Offspring just put out a cover of one of his songs, and it's so, they made a music video too. It's so good.
Oh, that's awesome.
Their drummer's like dressed like a tiger.
So you know that song called "Pretty Fly for a White Guy"?
Yeah.
I knew the white guy. I used to do improv with him in New York.
Wait, that's based off someone? Oh, wait, the guy who played him in the music video?
Yeah.
Oh.
His name is Guy something, and I did improv with him. He was a great guy. But yeah, he described touring with them.
Really?
He would tour with.
Bring it up all the time?
No, actually, I knew him for like almost a year before he told me. And then I saw the music video that night, and I was like, yep, that's him, 100%. Because, like, I saw the music video, like, you know, 6 years before I met him, and I didn't put it together because he wasn't, you know, wearing a gold chain around his neck and all this bullshit. But he described the touring with them was, like, so crazy. They hired a guy who was, like, their friend from college who was just, like, a frat guy, like Bert Kreischer, like, just a party animal, just a party. So they hired a guy just to be drunk the whole time. And so when they went on tour and like he was mostly like camped out with that guy, like they would put him in the same hotel room as that guy. And he was like, this guy was just like out of his mind doing drugs the whole time. And like, he was just like, he would just go on tour and then do the bit. He would come out for the one song and like do a little dance and then go back. But he had to like be on tour the whole time, you know?
That's so funny.
But
I wonder what that guy's doing now.
Guy, the white guy?
Yeah,
I don't know. Last I heard, he was putting together a business to help construction companies deal with the government, like, and get permits. So that's what his job was when I knew him. I wonder if he's still doing that.
What a sellout.
He would grease the wheels a little bit, yeah. Well, he wasn't really a musician or anything, you know?
Yeah, it's a shame.
Speaking of all this, though, how much do you miss stand-up?
I mean, I still do it. I mean, it sucks with everything being closed. And here, we don't even know. So they're going to open bars last, but... we don't even know when you'll be able to have shows of any kind again. Like, pretty much every concert got canceled here. All the comedy shows and open mics of every kind, they're all closed. So.
Yeah, and I didn't realize, like, how much that was my entire social scene. Like, all my friends in Jersey are comedians. That's all my friends. I don't have any friends other than comedians, you know? And, like, not going out 3 times a week, 5 times a week to do stand-up is, like, a huge lifestyle change, you know?
Yeah. No, same. And so now I just eat fast food 5 times a day. And just fucking... It's weird to, like... It sucks not having an outlet of any kind right now. But it's weird, like, I keep reading about these teenagers all over America that keep, like, offing themselves because they can't handle this, like, change in their lifestyle. And that just blows, like, I'm about to have a kid and I still am not that stressed out. And it's weird to me that, like, these teenagers who shouldn't even have real lives, you know, like,
yeah,
so forlorn by not being able to go to fucking prom that they're hanging themselves, like, in their parents' house. It's weird. It's a weird time right now.
Well, I think it goes to, like, that domestic abuse thing. Like, what if your parents are, like, really, you know, up your ass all the time about, do this, do that, do this, and, like, going to school was, like, or just, like, drug addicts or pieces of shit, you know, or abusive. And now money's tight, number one. Number two, they're around all the time. Number three, you don't have any of your friends anymore. Your classes are online, but it's kind of like a sixth of the work you were doing before, so your day's open. I mean, I do imagine, like, imagine if you got, if you're, like, putting college applications together as a junior or a senior in high school, and now this happens where it's like you don't even know if you're going to go to school. People don't even go to school anymore. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
There's,
well,
like... Yeah.
That their colleges aren't going to be looking at SAT scores this year.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to. So, I mean, there's some pressure taken off, but, yeah, you don't know what people's, like, home lives are like and shit.
Yeah.
One of my friends went to stand up on, like, House Party. You know that app? It's like Zoom or whatever.
Right.
So it's like someone set it up so it's like chat roulette basically or whatever, where you have your House Party or whatever channel turned on, and then it just goes through a list of comedians or whatever kind of entertainer at home. So like one person will perform 5 minutes of like a song or improv or whatever, and then it just cuts to you, and then a bunch of normals get to just watch, like, it's the fucking Coachella at home or something. But I was like, dude, I don't want to. I'm not going to be able to fucking kill on my couch, you know, like, my fucking beer belly. My face. I haven't gotten a haircut in like 2 months. I look like shit. I look like I get paid to clean bathrooms at like a prison. Brutal.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, the whole doing stand-up on Zoom or doing stand-up on Skype, it's like, dude, my timing is affected by the audience. So it's like a different thing. When the audience is with me, I either slow down, speed up, I hit the punchline, boom, and then bah, and then this and that. When there's no audience and no laughter coming back at you, it's not, it's called podcasting, you know? It's not stand up.
Yeah, it's weird.
So, ugh, fuck.
Yeah, I'm ready for everything to go back to normal, man. It's brutal. And then, like, you know, the place where we're living, we still have to pay rent.
Yeah, me too.
Our the type of apartment we have doesn't count for whatever the rules they have for, like, rent forgiveness and whatnot.
Right.
So, I don't have a job. Probably won't have another one. Won't be able to go back to work for at least another month. Fucking brutal, man. I just feel like if state governments and the federal government are going to institute these kind of policies where, like, we don't have a say in, you know, what kind of income we're getting anymore, like, you know, I can't go to work. I have to stay at home. But then you still have to buy food. You still have to pay your bills. And I just feel like if they're going to make these stay-at-home orders, that they should also, you know, just abolish, like, any kind of financial debts or anything for the same amount of time. It's kind of crazy that they're not really doing that much for shutting down, like, you know, bill payments and mortgage payments.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we'll do a loan. We'll give you a loan. So it's like, okay, for the time that you mandated I shut down, you're going to give me money that I have to pay back? What the fuck? With interest?
Yeah.
Remember the simple days, Xander Forrest, when, you know, we just went on a double date one time, and then the biggest problem in our lives is that my girlfriend tried to hit on you and your girlfriend tried to hit on me? Remember that?
Wait, did that happen?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Remember? Remember that?
When was that?
Remember we went in New Orleans. We went on a double date. Remember that? Or a triple date. Remember that? To the swamp. No. To the swamp. We had a picnic and a walk.
To the swamp. Oh, yeah.
Right. And then
wait.
The girl I was seeing was trying to hit on you after we broke up. Remember on Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
And then.
Yeah. And then she, like, moved away or something, right?
I don't know about that part. But then the girl that you took on that double date was made a pass at me.
Yeah.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah, that's how boring those two girls were. I didn't even remember that happening at all.
It was our camaraderie. And then they just wanted to switch. The girls wanted to switch guys.
That's so funny. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Remember when that was the problems in our life?
Oh, it was great.
Before the COVID, when the girls that we were dating wanted to switch who they were dating with us.
I would love to have those kind of problems again.
Now there's police tape around swings. In like a fucking zombie movie.
I'm sure you're used to that, though.
Look, my onstage persona is a little different than my reality right now. Now my problems are I'm living with a bunch of with other dudes, you know, and I made a chore chart because one of them wasn't fucking doing a taking the garbage out. So
you made a chore chart.
I made a chore chart.
So you're the house shrew.
I am.
You're the the lady of the inn.
Yeah.
Who are these guys?
One of them like gets money from the army, and one of them is like works at UPS or whatever. It's my life in New Jersey. Just roommates, you know.
What did you put on the chore chart?
Vacuum. Do the clean mop, you know, take out the garbage, take out the recycling. There's like four things. And like me and the one guy like did all the shit. And then the one guy did his first chore today. So it took him a month. It's the end of April. I put it up April 1st. It's April 27th. And he did a chore today. So I'm very happy.
Well, maybe he thought because you put it out on the 1st that it was just a prank.
Right, I did put it out on April 1st. That's true.
So he's like, oh, well, it's been up there 27 days. It's probably real. I guess I'll contribute now.
Yeah, because like every time you do a chore, you sign your name. So me and the other roommate all month have been signing our names off on chores. And he did one thing today, finally. So that was victory.
What was the chore?
He kind of did an off-label chore. He clean. There was like this, you know, those vents that go above your stove. He like cleaned those. It was like an off-label chore, but it's still, you know. He did something outside the boundaries of my chore chart. Now I gotta, you know, redesign it for like other. I need like another category. You do something productive, write it down here. You know. I'm such a fucking loser. I'm gonna shoot myself like a teenager pretty soon.
When's the last time you did stand up?
I would say probably like March 12th or March 10th, probably.
Wow.
That's the longest I've never gone a month. Really, like, this is, you know, it's like 6 weeks. I've never gone that long. I would take like 3 weeks off here and there if I would move. Like when I move, you know, I would take some time off to like get reacclimated. But I would never take 6 weeks off. I'm really, yeah. I miss it, man.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Because I was planning, when my lease is up here, I was planning to move right next to New York City and have my special come out and then, like, do spots in New York. But now it's like, I don't even know if that's not an option. Like, you know, New York City is going to take the longest to open up, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy they're still doing, they just did, like, the second SNL, is they're all at home and shit.
It was embarrassing enough at Studio 8H. Now they're doing it on Zoom. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's pretty. You should just not do it at that point.
Yeah. It's actually terrible. I mean, it's unwatchable.
Yeah, and what sucks too is that, you know, so they're starting to slowly restrict or, you know, lift all these restrictions, but everything I've been reading is saying that. In the fall, like November, October, November, December, there's going to be a second worst wave of the coronavirus because it's going to piggyback onto whatever influenza is circulating. So we're going to be able to get out of our houses for like 3 months, and then it's going to be even worse.
Yeah, and that would be the worst for the economy, you know, if the economy stutter starts.
It's going to be worse for the economy and for, like, the death toll, because the second time it's going to be even harder to get people to actually stay home, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. I read one thing that was saying they're expecting this to go until, like, for years we're going to be dealing with these kind of like intermittent stay-at-home orders.
Yeah, it's like they're just training the populace, you know, to stay inside all the time. This shit sucks, man.
Yeah,
that's why it's like,
how's your dad doing? He's like an older dude, right?
Oh, yeah, you met him, right? In New Orleans, huh?
Yeah.
At the roast?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not really talking too much now. So after.
What happened with that?
Well, I shot my special, you know, and then I went to go live with him because I spent all my money. And he was just. He's like, oh, how about you do some real estate with me and then you'll be able to raise some funds real quick and then, you know, do your special and this and that. And I was like, okay, that sounds fine. So I went to real estate school. I did all that stuff. He started setting me up with appointments because he's like a broker. So I started trying to sell some real estate. No problem. I never missed an appointment ever. But he would like to talk to me, so I would also like Uber drive every day, and then like I would hit the door from Uber driving and showing houses for like a 12-hour shift, and like come home and he'd be like in front of the TV, like, and I'd wake him up walking like next to a fucking bottle of wine. He would wake up and like want to, like, you know, every day want to like oversight me about the real estate. And then, like, it's got to a level where he started abusing me, like, saying that, you know, my your siblings, they make a lot more money than you, a lot, you know? And, like, basically that I'm a loser, like, you know, and I was, you know? So it went from, like, oh, I'll help you figure out your life to, like, pay this money back, and then you can make money with real estate and this and that, to, like, you know, your siblings make a lot more money than you. And, like, it's like, bro, like, my shit is being edited. Like, wait until it's done to call me a fucking loser. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So the way in which he was framing the abuse, I just feel as though after I put the thing out, and I'm very, very close now because it just got finalized, actually. In the next 3 days, it'll be finalized. And I don't want to say what I'm going to do next as far as selling it, but I have a great lead.
Nice.
But after it comes out and it's on a decent platform, a respectable platform, then I will have a relationship with my father, but not before. Because I feel like he doesn't get... I have to prove... I have to do it. Prove it, and then, oh, okay, so you were wrong about that? Okay, so you were wrong about that? Okay, so now it's on here. My special's here. Okay, so that's what I said I was going to do the whole time. Okay, now we can be have a relationship. But when I'm still poor and struggling and, like, having his voice in my head is completely counterproductive because it's impossible to accomplish what I have to accomplish in the coming weeks with him in my head, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's fucked up, you know? Like, he bailed me out of jail. Remember I got locked up, you know?
Wait. No, I don't remember.
So in New Orleans, I was putting up posters for a comedy show, and a meter maid saw that I had a stapler in my hand.
She thought you had a gun? Yeah,
she
remember that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, so I literally went to jail, and my dad flew to New Orleans the first time to, like, bust me out of jail, you know? So
yeah.
He is, like, a road dog. Like, he is, like, a dog, you know? Like, he's in my corner, and he bailed me out of jail. So that... got a lot of credibility with me. So that's when, you know, we didn't get along for periods of time, you know, in my adolescence. So, but after he bails me out of jail and he's like, okay, you spend all your money, you come live with me for a year or however long you have to, and then blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay. But then, like, you know, the booze and the abuse was just real. I was like, oh, okay, I remember this guy, you know? So, but I can't handle it. I could handle it, and there's a little senility going on too. But I can handle it, but if you're abusive, it's like I just can't handle that until my dreams come true. You know what I mean? I'm a fragile boy.
Yeah.
But I met your mom. Are you and your mom?
Yeah, she's good. Well, it's funny, she was supposed to fly in yesterday. To visit for my birthday, but yeah, she had to cancel. She got her tickets like in December, and all this fucking coronavirus shit happened. But she's good. She's still running our bar
in Portland.
Yeah, but you know, we're forced to be closed, but she still has to pay rent for the bar and all this other stuff. So. Things are, you know, kind of stressful, but things are good. She's going to come, I think it's the end of July, to come visit, but so she can meet the baby and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, man. Like, you know, like when we found out we were having a kid, obviously we didn't know that the world would be shut down. So, you know, the closer... we keep getting to the due date, and they keep, you know, extending these stay-at-home orders and everything. It's kind of wild.
That's crazy, man.
I just don't want, yeah, I don't want to have, like, a home birthing. We won't get our deposit back.
Because you'll, yeah.
The way it looks like, why is there placenta in the carpet?
Yeah, you can't get that out. You can't get placenta out or adrenochrome. Are you turning 30?
No, I turned 29.
Oh, okay.
30 next year.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, what's funny, too, is my, our kid, the dude, it's due days, is lands on Father's Day this year. And then so, pretty much every other year, it'll either be on his birthday or either be on Father's Day or the day before or after Father's Day. So I'm pretty. The one bright side is I get to make his birthday about me every year. So that's tight.
That's hilarious. Well, you think it's your day? It's actually my day more. So
yeah, I'll be like, what I want for Father's Day is for you to party with me. I'm not giving you shit.
Yeah, you buy me Taco Bell.
You,
you get, I'm going to give you money for your birthday to buy me something for Father's Day.
Oh, boy. You're going to be a piece of shit, Dad. It's going to be great. You have an excuse.
Yeah, I was just telling my girlfriend that I'm going to make sure the first word is like fuck or like some kind of swear word.
Oh. I know. Okay. Yeah. Can I request a joke for you to, cause I gotta go. I gotta actually, I have another podcast to do after this. I'm very fancy. I'm very busy, but I know we talked shit about doing stand up over podcasts and Zoom. Do you remember my favorite joke? The joke about, having sex with girls is the gay shit you could do. Do you remember that?
I do, but I don't. That's cool. I haven't done it in forever. But yeah, like you went. I mean, it's gayer than fucking a dude. You know, guys smell. They're hairy and hard, and there's nothing. They got no curves. You know, and chick. You know, they're hairless. The gayest possible thing is just a hairless body, and trimmed and groomed. They smell like flowers and mangoes. And there's just something kind of funny about, like, you know, being a man, but, like, I'm not, if my chick doesn't smell like, you know, mangoes and strawberries and cream, then I just can't keep it up. Can't stay hard.
She's probably got pillows, you know, you're going to be doing a nice bed, blankets, you know. Where do you fuck dudes?
Yeah, the woods, you know, in a gutter. Behind a porn store.
I think you're right. I think having sex with girls is just about the gayest shit you could do.
If your basis for masculinity, right? Like if gayness is just if you're using it as a pejorative for gay men because you know if they're being effeminate and soft or whatever, a gay dude is still not anywhere close to the level gay that a girl is. Like, if you know what I mean? Like that.
Right. As far as femininity.
Yeah. Like the things you want from a woman to bed them is it's funny that like if your chick doesn't smell like peaches and cream, you know that's a problem. But gay dudes, man, fucking a dude in general, that just should be how it is. Like, you should fuck girls, you should have to fuck a dude first, you know?
It's more, really, it's more hardcore.
It's, you know, it's just, it's rougher, they got stronger hands.
You gotta be a man's man to fuck a dude.
Yeah, they have a mattress on the floor like they're in prison, you know?
Yeah. That is way. You really prove the only way to prove that you're straight, I think.
Yeah, it's by fucking a dude in a public park.
All right, Xander Forrest. Good to talk to you, my brother. You know, it's weird to have one of your best friends somebody that you only talk to once or twice a year, but you live in Hawaii.
I know it's kind of hard, but. Yeah, I mean, I think about you all the time. And, you know, it does go to say something, though. Like, even a person you don't see or talk to that often, but, you know, when you have the kind of relationship that when you do talk to them again, it's like no time passed.
Yeah.
You know, that's better than, you know, talking to someone every day that you don't even really care for that much.
Yeah, dude. Cool. We had some good times in New Orleans, man. We were just drinking every night, doing stand-up every night. Those were golden years, you know?
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun, man.
Hanging out with John Rowe, you know?
Yeah, you want to know something funny before you go? Fucking Kyle Smith texted me, like, 2 days before, you know, John died in February or whatever.
Yeah.
A few years ago, but it was weird, man. Kyle hit me up, like, the day or something before just to like say what's up and he didn't even I'd be like oh it's weird you hit me up because it's like around when John died and he's like oh well yeah I don't know
miss that dude.
Yeah,
he's the one that would have done something. Not that you won't. I'm sure your special has like the best quality pedo joke in the
game. Yeah, I know. We always say like, man, John was so talented. I honestly think like no. And I knew this back then. Like, John is more talented than me. 100%. He's funnier than me. He's more talented than me. Where I have the edge over John is my organization. His organization.
And you're still alive.
And I'm still alive. Like, managing my body. I can eat food every day and pay rent, you know. He had zero organization. He was the least practical person. But on fucking stage...
He was so impractical that he died.
Yeah, he mismanaged his own body.
He'd be laughing. Dude, his my favorite joke of his, I don't know if you remember it, but he had that one joke about how he thought that he was getting hate crimed every day when he was a kid because he thought that his white neighbors were leaving shit on his lawn because the poop was white. So he thought that, like, people shit, like, the color of their skin tone.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
And so he, like, goes to school, and, like, he's all sad, and his friend's like, hey, man, what are you saying? He's like, all these white people keep shitting on my lawn, and I'm just not about it. And he's like, well, you know, how do you know they're shitting on your lawn? He's like, because the poop's white. Like, here. It's old dog shit, man.
Oh. I remember he started experimenting sexually, and then he would, like, bring the shit on stage. He said shit that he was like, man, y'all don't know about love. You gotta fuck a dude, a woman trying to be a dude, and a dude trying to be a woman. That's the only way you know. Like, before he died, though, he started getting into areas that I was like, wait, did you just do that so that you would have a story tonight?
Oh, yeah. He would. Because I would hang out with him before he'd go do those things, too, sometimes. And I'd be like, what are you doing, Johnny? He'd be like, oh, you know, I met this girl, and, you know, like, she has a dick, but...
Yeah.
I need a new 5 minutes. So I'm gonna go fuck that girl, and I'm gonna talk about her dick on stage. That
yeah.
What?
No, that's real. That's real. Yeah. That sounds like a joke. That's real.
Yeah, he did that. He was committed to the craft, man.
Oh, I'd be so jealous. Like, I like work on my jokes. I like look at it in the mirror. I'm like practicing my jokes. He's, like, asleep in his car outside Siberia. And they're like, John, yeah. You're next. He's like, what? And fucking murders. And you're like, what in the fuck is going on, man?
Yeah, I saw him. Corey Mack had to wake him up one time. And he was in his car. He got that new car. Remember when he was, like, doing Uber or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
So he comes from doing Uber. He passes out at like 10 p.m. before his set, and Corey goes to wake him up, and he had a pint, an open pint of vodka in his lap, and Corey knocks on the door and scares John, and John spills all of his vodka, and he just yelled at Corey forever. He's like, man, you made me spill all my vodka. That was my last $2, Corey Mack.
I remember that the engine exploded, and I had to rescue you guys one day. Cause he was like, watch this, and then it was like a Dodge Charger.
Yeah, dude, I forgot about that. Yeah, we're going to like Red Beans. I don't remember. We're going to some mic, and yeah, he's like, man, I love this car. I got this car. I'm doing Uber now. I got this car, and I'm like, John, this car's kind of a piece of shit. He's like, no, watch this, and then yeah, he floors it, and the engine literally exploded. There's a fire, the transmission drops to like the street.
Yeah.
And then he calls Uber, and he's shit faced too, right? he calls Uber, and he's like, y'all motherfuckers need to come give me a new car. And then they're like, well, why? And he's like, I tried to show my friend how fast my new car is, and it exploded.
It's like he can't even lie to them to, like, you know what I mean? Oh, my God.
And he's like, this piece of shit ain't fast. It's going nowhere. It's on fire. I'm like, dude, you shouldn't have said any of that. And then, that was the craziest thing about John, too, is, like, he would just be so blunt, and people still gave him everything. Like, and he had her on speakerphone. And she's like, okay, we're sending a tow truck now. And then we'll send someone else with a new car.
Yeah.
Like tomorrow or whatever. And I'm like, dude, you just told them that you were driving their car shit faced, try to rape people and set it on fire.
And then he's like, don't send no white people. They've been shitting on my lawn. And then a black guy would show up. Like, he would even get his way that way.
Yeah. Crazy, man.
All right. Don't send a white person. All right. I gotta go. Hey, thanks for calling in, Xander. I love you, my brother.
Yeah, I love you too, dude. I'll talk to you in a year.
Okay. This has been Highway Diary, episode 15 something. Later, cocksucker.